would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I'll be spending the next 30 minutes with you here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Thank you for making us part of your day. We trust that you had a great weekend, and we are looking forward to a glorious week this week as we transition from one year into the next. And so we are going to go this morning to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. That's where we are going to be located. We want to start off by saying thank you to Jits Concrete for helping to bring this broadcast to you through their tithes and offerings at Merit Assembly of God. Jits Concrete, 536-5804. They can help you with any of your block or concrete work. If you've got a project that you're wanting done before the end of the year, give them a call. If you've got a project that you're thinking about starting in the next year, go ahead and give them a call as well. They will take wonderful care of you. Jits Concrete, 536-5804. They are experienced, they are professionals, and they are very, very good at what they do. 536-5804. Do want to let you know that this week we do not have our Wednesday night service. This week, this last week of the year, we take that as an opportunity to recuperate our staff strength as well as take good care of our facilities and get them primed and up and running for the new year. So I do want to take you now to the Word of God. And Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse number 6 says this: "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Whoops, my page is folded over there. "Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Today I'd like to talk to you about forsaking unrighteous thoughts, changing our way of thinking as we are preparing to transition into the new year. It is imperative, it is mandatory that if we are going to see different results, that we have to think differently than we have thought before. It is a continually ongoing process in my life, is adapting my way of thinking to the way that God thinks. There's a passage in the scriptures that says that where God declares, "You thought I was altogether like you." Most people think that the way that they process information, the way that they think, the way that they live, that is the way to live, and that God must surely think the same way that they do. If anything is evident in the coming of Jesus to the earth in his ministry, it was that he did not think the same way as the Sadducees. He did not think the same way as the Romans. He did not look at people the same way the Pharisees did. His thoughts were entirely different, where they processed the word in a very legalistic manner. Jesus approached it and said, "You think you understand it on this level, but I'm here to explain to you that there is an entirely different dimension there. You thought that it was just not commit adultery, but I'm telling you, you can't even look lustfully at another person. And you say that you shall not murder. I say you're not supposed to be angry with your brother without a cause, that you're not supposed to call people a fool because if you do, you are in danger of judgment." So Jesus came and said, there's an entirely different level of thinking, and my thoughts are not contaminated the way that your thoughts are. Paul said that when he was a child, he thought like a child, he spoke like a child, but when he became a man, he put away childish things. So I want to encourage you today not to kick the can down the road. I don't want you to delay. I don't want you to procrastinate. I want you to make today a very serious reflection of God. Is there anything in my thought life? Is there the way that I'm processing information? Am I thinking with my flesh as opposed to thinking with the Spirit of God, with the mind of Christ? Do I need to have my mind renewed in a certain area? You see, because one of the things I've become evident or become convinced of with plenty of evidence is that when I'm driving my vehicle down the road, in spite of the fact that my vehicle has lots and lots of windows, that there are blind spots. So I have these little mirrors, these little round mirrors that give me a perception of where my blind spots are. Most people have blind spots when it comes to them, their own lives. I watch this program from time to time called Brain Games, and it describes how our minds have the ability to fill in gaps even if the gap exists. That if you see a pattern, that your mind automatically fills the pattern in, even if the original drawing, diagram, pattern that they want you to look at doesn't include information, your mind just kind of automatically fills it in there. So today I want to challenge you to think the way that God thinks, to put away unrighteous thinking, as it says here in Isaiah 55:7, forsaking unrighteous thoughts. One thing is for certain, and that is that if we eliminate God from our thought processes, if we choose not to retain him, as it talks about in Romans chapter 1, if we choose not to give him thanks, that it alters the way that we think, and we begin to think with a reprobate mind instead of a regenerate mind, a redeemed mind, a renewed mind, a mind like Christ. And so I believe that every person would benefit today by recognizing what it says just a few verses later, and that is that where God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God's perspective, the way that he does decision-making, the way that he plans, the way that he orchestrates events, those thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So I'd like to just today challenge you to begin to consider the possibility that God could elevate our thinking. Okay? I was in a conversation with a person one time, and they said, well, I need someone to teach me how to think differently, because the only way I know how to think is the way that I know how to think. And there is an element of truth to that. If we are stuck at a certain level, we need someone to come and help us to think differently. And it might be minor adjustments. It may be major adjustments. There, some of these adjustments in thought patterns or thought styles are extremely difficult. If you think that you are just destined for defeat, then you are defeated already. I want you to know that God says, Jeremiah 29:11, that he has thoughts about us, plans to prosper us, to give us hope and a future. So God is not thinking of you in a defeated mindset. God is not thinking of you, and I can't wait until they take their last breath mindset. He is thinking of you as the object of his affection, that he's thinking of you as a person that he created intentionally with a purpose, created specifically for this time, specifically for this location. And so when you realize that you are a custom project of God, it will change the way that you look at yourself. It will change the way that you think about other people. We cannot afford to get stuck with unrighteous thoughts. So there is an unrighteous way of thinking, and there is a righteous way to think. There's, In fact, Philippians chapter 4 says that there are certain things that we are supposed to think of. It says in verse number 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things," or think on these things. "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." So it tells us what to think on and to consider, to contemplate, because the scripture says, "A man thinketh in his heart, so is he." It doesn't mean that if I think that I'm a millionaire, that I am going to be a millionaire, but I'm going to begin to act in accordance with those thoughts. If I realize that God has given me a dream, if he's given me a purpose, then I am going to be thinking about God's provision, about the preparation that he wants us to go through in that process, about the people that I'm going to need in my life to help that. And so several years ago, I preached this message Joseph, in his pursuit of his dream, there were several detours that took course along his way. They happened. They were what you and I would consider setbacks. And I've had some of those in my own life where there were setbacks that took place, and you know, the dream was threatened, but we never gave up on the dream. And at some point in time, Joseph ends up in jail. He ends up as like the head custodian of the jail underneath the warden, and he begins to minister to the other inmates that are there, the prisoners. And he helps the baker and the cupbearer to understand the dreams that God had given them. One of them, the cupbearer, he was going to be restored to his position. The baker was going to be executed. He helped them to understand the future, the destiny that God had for them. And that act was absolutely imperative for Joseph's dream to come to pass. If he had not ministered to the cupbearer would have had no knowledge of Joseph, would have had nothing to consider when he was restored to his position and Pharaoh had a dream, and he would have not had any point of reference to say, you know, there was this guy in jail that interpreted my dream. It was very important for Joseph to be assisting other people in the fulfillment of their dreams in their life. And so I preached this message and I said, you know what? I want to help you fulfill your dream, because God's given me dreams for Merit Assembly of God. And in order for my dreams to become a reality, I want to start by helping you fulfill your dreams. What is it that God has birthed in your heart? Don't get isolated in the way that you think as to just the only thing that matters is you. I've known people that if they were in charge of a ministry, they wanted everybody to support their ministry. But if there was someone else's ministry that was taking place, they would excuse themselves from that. They said, well, that really doesn't pertain to me. That is not a servant mindset. So I want to challenge you, because there are some various thought processes that you have gone through in your physical life, your educational life, that had to change. And sometimes they were very difficult. When you first began to learn to read, they taught you to read with very concrete concepts. It was something, there was a subject and an object. The actions were very clear. And somewhere around third or fourth grade, they began to introduce to you abstract concepts. And instead of concrete, you know, where it's, you know, I can see, I can feel, I can touch, I can hear, all of a sudden there were abstract principles, and there are a lot of students in school that when that transition from teaching from concrete to abstract takes place, all of a sudden they begin to struggle because it requires a new way of thinking. When they teach you math, it's 1 plus 1 equals 2, and 2 times 2 equals 4, and then you learn multiplication and division and addition and subtraction, and all of that is very good because they provide all of the information to you. And then at some point in time, they start introducing you to algebra. And algebra tells you, well, you need to figure out how to solve an equation when you don't have all of the information. And so instead of it's just processing information, now they need you to think intuitively. They need you to be a problem solver and say, how do I come up with a conclusion when I don't have all of the information? See, what happens currently is a lot of people go to school to learn knowledge. Well, you say, well, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Aren't we supposed to go to school to learn new information? Yes and no. Yes and no. When you come to church, I want to impart to you the truth of God's word. I do. I want you to abide in Christ. I want you to know the truth, and I want the truth to set you free. But there has been people that have said this. It said God's biggest project was not getting the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was getting Egypt out of the children of Israel. They kept having this desire to go back, to go back, and to go back. And if we are not careful as we are on the horizon of this new year, we will be tempted to want to revert back to that which is comfortable, that which is familiar, and that which we are well acquainted with. Rather than just going to hear information, what if we went to school to learn about the way to think, to process information, and say, and unfortunately, right now a number of our educational institutions are into indoctrination. They tell you this is the problem, this is the solution, and what is concerning about that is there's always going to be a different take on the problem. And so you would need somebody to always be spoon feeding you the answer if you don't know how to handle problems objectively. If you do not know how to be a problem solver, everybody can point out a problem. But you and I need God to help us to understand how to forsake unrighteous thinking or just complaining and murmuring and say, okay, God, what is your solution to this? What is the right thing? How do I need to be processing this? And so when you look in history, you will find that there were certain people at certain times and they came up with a list of do's and don'ts. And everybody was fine with that list of do's and don'ts. You knew that if you did this, you were out of favor. If you didn't do it, you were okay. And by the way, the list of don'ts was always longer than the list of do's. But the problem with that is society was always changing. Technology was always advancing. Temptations were always taking on a different appearance. And if it didn't show up on the list, then people thought it was okay. And it might not have been okay. So we need God to write his law on our hearts so that we are not processing our thoughts with our head or with our intellect, our emotions, because you and I will rationalize temptation to enable us to do something, even if our spirit is waving its hands, jumping up and down and saying, don't go there. We will rationalize it. I'm not talking out of theory here. I'm talking about personal experience. I know what I'm talking about, where it's like, you know what, when God finally wrote his word on the tablet of my heart. It was no longer, I have to do this or I am not supposed to do that. All of a sudden, when I allowed him to inscribe it on my heart began to beat for the things that he longed for. And so it was a much different way. It was like, okay, how do I please God in this situation? Not how do I please Bob in this situation? When you and I are born, we think selfishly. We think about ourselves. When we are a little more mature, we begin to think about others. When we're born again, we think of how we can serve. And so at Merit Assembly of God, we're about restoring value spiritually and relationally. We want to love, we want to serve, and we want to grow. And all of that changes with the way that we think. So I want to encourage you to allow God, by the God the Holy Spirit, to help you and I to elevate our thinking. God says, the way that I think and the way that you think here in verse number 8, it says they're not even close. They're not even close. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So there's going to be a process. God's not just going to suddenly bring you from the gutter all the way up to the penthouse of a skyscraper in the way that you think. He's going to begin to take you and I step by step through the thought-changing process. This coming year can be a phenomenal year if we will allow God to transform the way that we think. Instead of thinking selfishly, we think servant. We think servant leadership. Instead of just thinking about what's wrong with the situation, we think about how to resolve the problem. There are a lot of different things that you and I need to change the way that we are thinking. So let me just put it this way. There's not an area of your life that can't be transformed with a different way of thinking. When you were doing your grocery shop or your Christmas shopping, when you do your grocery shopping as well, you need to understand that items are placed specifically in the store to create impulse buys for instant gratification. What would happen if we stopped thinking from a temporal standpoint, a right now standpoint, and we started thinking from an eternal standpoint? What if we stopped thinking about instant and we started thinking about long term? So I was having a conversation with someone not too long ago, and I was telling them, do you realize how much liberty that a person has when they do not have debt as opposed to when they do have debt? Said, people who have the exact same income can live entirely different lifestyles because of the amount of different debt that they have. And so, you know, there are people out there like Dave Ramsey that they will come and they will help you to begin to think about money differently, think about debt differently. And so I want to encourage you, as we're wrapping up the end of the year here, to begin to think the way that God wants you to think. It says there in verse number 7, we have to forsake the way that we're thinking. One of the thoughts that you need to forsake of unrighteousness is people think of how they can take advantage of other people. What if we were thinking about how we could empower other people? What if instead of thinking that we have committed so much wrong that there is no way that God could forgive us, that we would understand that Jesus died to take away the sins of the world? He's the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And we would look at verse number 7, and it says that if we will return to the Lord, he will have mercy on us, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. What if we realized that instead of looking for how close to the edge we could get and not lose our salvation. What if we approach that with how close can we get to the heart of God and see the safety and the provision that he will have for us and the wonderful protection? What if instead of how many sins can I commit, what if we looked and said, how much heartache will God spare me from if I walk in a life of obedience? I can tell you that I'm challenging myself, I'm challenging our church to think the way that God wants us to think. No matter how good you are at business, you can think better. No matter how strategic you are, you can think with greater strategy through the help of the Holy Spirit. No matter how you think of your spouse, you can think of them differently. No matter what you think an acceptable lifestyle of the Lord is, you can go to the Word of God and you can find out. What if we thought in line with the Word of God? Listen, this is the greatest book of wisdom that there has ever been written. And you and I need to stop thinking that our ways are higher than God's ways and that God is the one who keeps messing up. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't lie. God's timing is never off. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to change our minds. But, you know, I tell people at times that I have the gift of stubborn, and it's a biological trait. It goes back generations. But instead of operating from a stubborn mindset against the things of God, I'm trying to employ being stubborn for the things of God, a stubborn, persistent faith that constantly believes in the things of God. And so I want to just encourage you today, forsake unrighteous thinking and say, God, I know that your thoughts are way beyond my understanding. Would you set me on a journey that this next year I will think more like you than I've ever thought before? This is Pastor Bob Arthurs. I want to pray for you, for all of us right now. Lord, we're coming up on the beginning of a new year. And Lord, we understand that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, exponentially higher. Lord, would you help us in this new year to think more like you, to think in terms of how we can love you, serve you, and be of benefit to the body of Christ. Lord, whatever area of our life we're struggling with, help us to think the way you would have us to think. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next time right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
The Yuletide gay. again.